Welcome to A Word in Season with Doug Stringer and friends. We share good news and godly wisdom to empower you to be salt and light in every season of life. Men are less likely to join a church men's group that offers help with porn addiction due to the guilt and shame associated with biblical sin. More men at church on Sunday are likely to have viewed pornography in the past week than to have opened their Bibles. Listen as Dr. Kevin Harrison and Doug talk about Pure Manhood, a 100% confidential resource for men struggling with pornography. Don't miss the opportunity to learn how to minister to men and their families. After the episode, check out our show notes on your favorite streaming platform and visit awordinseasonpodcast.org to download a free 30-day devotional that will encourage you to draw closer to the Lord. If you've gleaned anything from this podcast, consider paying it forward with a gift at somebodycares.org. Now let's join our host, Doug Stringer.
Dr. Kevin Harrison, longtime friend, pastor. We've been connected since you were pastoring in Baltimore, Waco, various places. When you were actually at Southwestern Assemblies of God University as VP over there.
Back to 2002.
Oh my gosh. So that's been 22 years. Definitely have a history and have great respect and admiration for all that you've been able to accomplish. And of course, now as the president of West Coast Bible College and Seminary. And on top of that, working all these other things, accreditations and as well as partnerships with various schools and higher learning. And then also, of course, developing Pure Manhood. And that's what we're going to be focusing on today. But would you just share a little bit about your history and what got you to what you're doing now and some exciting things? In fact, you were just talking before we came on that you'll be with your son-in-law, who's the second fastest
American who's ever been at the Olympics. In fact, we are leaving tomorrow. We're making our way to Eugene, Oregon, because he's going to be running in the U.S. Olympic trials. He represented Team USA in Tokyo, which we were bummed because we could not go to Tokyo because of COVID-19 and all the protocols that were there. And so it's a very, very challenging event that he's in, the 100-meter. And so we're going to be there with him to support him. He'll be running on Saturday night and Sunday evening as well. So you can check that out on NBC and say a word of prayer for him. Doug, we go back. You talked about it back to 2002. We go back to the Southwestern days. You know, I want to say publicly here to everybody, first of all, I'm so grateful for Somebody Cares. I'm so grateful to Doug Stringer. I don't think people really understand the impact that you guys have made throughout the years. You know, I worked Hurricane Katrina, and I'll never forget calling you, Doug, in 2005. And I just walked in with the lady at the Red Cross. She's sitting at the front desk and she's in tears. And I had gone down there initially to serve water, but God allowed us to be able to get into some leadership positions there. And so I just went to her and I said, "Hey, what can I do to make your day better?" And she said, "Well, you're not going to be able to help." I said, "Well, just say something. Just tell me." And she said, "Well, we need a 50,000 gallon potable water tank." And I said, "Well, hold on, let me make a phone call." So I made a phone call to you, Doug. I don't know if you even remember the call, but that was a huge ask. And she said, "Well, I can't get it for months," but you were able to get it to them the next day.
Wow.
And it was remarkable. The Red Cross that had all this money. And so I just want to say thank you. I mean, I can go back to the explosion in West Texas where you guys resourced us. I was pastoring in Waco at the time, and West was about 25 minutes away from us. And so I was on the long-term recovery committee with them. And we were able to resource people through Somebody Cares with over $100,000 of gift cards, which you can't understand the impact unless you found yourself in that position. So I wanted to say that up front, Doug, just thank you. Because I mean, I've seen what you've done in Haiti. I've been to these different places, Hurricane Sandy. I've been these places. I've talked to the people. And so thank you guys for what it is that you guys have done. So I go way back. You know, I've been in church ministry and I kind of feel like the old guy now, you know, because you start putting numbers and you realize I am the old guy. I've been in church ministry since 1986. And so I've had the opportunity to serve in literally just about every position you can think about. I have cleaned toilets. I have cut grass. I have been a children's pastor. I've been a youth pastor. I've been a worship pastor. I've been a Christian school principal. I've been a lead pastor. And so met my wife at Southwestern Assemblies of God, now university, getting ready to be Nelson University. We met back in 1986, and we've been married since July 3rd, 1987. Wow. And so we very, very blessed. We've got two daughters that we waited 10 years to have our first. And so, you know, it's now we're kind of older parents and even more older grandparents. We just became grandparents this past year with both of our daughters had a grandchild. And so we actually moved to Lexington, Kentucky because my son-in-law was training here at the University of Kentucky, and so we moved here. But throughout the years, man, I grew up in a pastor's home. My parents ended up in a divorce, and so very, very difficult times. Honestly, I tried to run from ministry. I didn't want to be a part of it. You know, I saw that, hey, they didn't make a whole lot of money. You know, there was a lot of stress and tension inside the home that you can have. And so I was like, man, I don't want anything to do with that. I want to go out here and make money. I'd already had plans. I wanted to be a lawyer or, you know, something that was going to make a lot of money. Man, I'll never forget that night in, of all places, Possum Neck, Mississippi. And here I was coming to an altar at a youth camp, and I knew God had called me to ministry. That night I surrendered and I said, 16 years old, I said, God, whatever you want, I'll go wherever you want and do whatever you want me to do as long as I don't miss you. And so from then on, that's what we've done. We've been most recently as a lead pastor. I was in Victorious Life Church in Waco from 2005 through 2015. Since then, we actually launched the college in 2006. But since 2015, I've been full-time running West Coast Bible College and Seminary as the president. We've trained over 10,000 leaders across the world. We've had a lot of great opportunities, especially in Africa. God's opened up a lot of doors to some of these areas, these churches that were going to be closing down because the government said, if you don't have some kind of an accreditation or a certificate, you can't continue on. And so we've provided that for them. And so now we're training people.
The impact that you and your family have had in the pastorate, as well as through West Coast Bible College and Seminary, goes far beyond what we've just heard. Because, I mean, even our director and president of Somebody Cares Baltimore, you had a huge impact in that family, especially at a very difficult time when they lost their son. So you pastored in Baltimore as well, and you actually were very involved in our Somebody Cares Baltimore, as well as being really an advisor to us and a partner with us in Somebody Cares International for all these years.
Yeah, and I love what you guys do just on the local level and the way you partner with churches. I mean, that's the thing is, Somebody Cares doesn't try to reinvent the wheel and say, hey, everybody's got to jump in here with what we're doing. You see with Somebody Cares, you see churches from everywhere that are coming together. And this is the beautiful thing, the body of Christ coming together.
When you were pastoring in Waco and the explosion of West Texas, what came out of that is a major grocery chain, because someone in your church had been working, was in executive position with that grocery chain. Out of that, the partnerships that were created, they created a disaster arm for every disaster after that through that chain, and have been an incredible blessing to churches and to every disaster we've been a part of.
Absolutely. And let me give you another thing, even out of West, that I can tell you, because I had been in a meeting with the governor's people, with Red Cross and all the people there. We were trying to figure out, okay, one of the biggest problems in West was they didn't have the resources to be able to move the homes out, because most of the people were insured by about $40,000. We're like, okay, what in the world we do? And I'm sitting there in a meeting and the Holy Spirit just begins prompting me. And believe me, I'm not like this. I'm not the one who says, I got the prophetic voice from God. But there've been like two times in my life where I knew beyond the shadow of a doubt, this is what the Holy Spirit is saying. And I knew that he was telling me, hey, let him know you've got a friend. He's going to take care of it. And I'm like, I'm not going to say that. I am not saying that. That's going to put me in a bad position. But I did. And I said it. And they said, well, who's your friend? I said, doesn't matter right now. I said, I'll make a couple of phone calls. I'll get back with you. So I get out and I'm like, oh, Jesus, you've got to help me. I just told them I have a friend. And so I told my wife. My wife's like, you said what? What are you talking about? I said, well, I've got a friend. And so I started praying. I said, Lord, lead me to who I need to call. And it was you. I called you. You gave me the names of two people. Second person was over an oil and gas place. And he said, yeah, we'll come there. We'll help. We'll help remove. And because of that connection through Somebody Cares and that relationship, all these homes in West Texas, nobody talks about this. This isn't part of the story, the narrative. And Red Cross, they would love to take credit for it, but they can't take credit for it. But God set that up and it came through Somebody Cares. And so this is why, man, I love what you guys do. It's an honor to be able to partner with you guys.
Well, we're excited to partner with you and just looking forward to seeing the continued impact that your school and seminary and everything else you do will have, including now the Pure Manhood. Tell us a bit about that, because, you know, in fact, we sent this out. It said more men at your church on Sunday will most likely have viewed pornography this past week than have opened their Bibles. Wow. Many churches have stayed silent on this issue because, unfortunately, even Christian leaders have struggled in this area. Can you imagine what it would look like for the men in your church to walk in freedom? Wow, Dr. Harrison, this is so important, especially right now with the identity crisis, the challenge on manhood, the exposures. We see so many Christian leaders really being exposed to sexual immorality. It's heartbreaking to see what's happening in the body of Christ globally.
Absolutely.
This is good timing as you've created this ministry called Pure Manhood on top of everything else you're doing. Tell us a bit about that journey and what that is.
The whole idea behind Pure Manhood is we realize there is a problem. We make the statement that there are more men, and it's just a true statement. It's a statement of fact. You go into statistics and you begin looking at it. The most recent statistics from Christian young men between the ages of 18 and 24 state that 76.9% of them are actively seeking out pornography on a weekly basis. Now, I'm not talking about people in the world. I'm talking about Christian young men, 76.9% of them. And 64% of Christian men have said that in the past month that they have looked at pornography. And you go back to some of the old Promise Keeper studies, and there's not a whole lot of latest stuff that's been done, but you realize that at one of the conferences, they had 51% of the pastors who said that they have engaged in this. And so one of the things the church really we failed to do, and I can, when I say we, I can say me too, because even when I was pastoring, I wish I would have been more proactive in this. I didn't do the things that I should have been. I mean, I spent a lot of time counseling people, but you know, you spend time one-on-one, you know, if you would begin to work on something on a larger scale, you'd have more of an opportunity to be able to reach people. Nate Bryan, who's become a friend over the past few years, he actually is a friend of my, or months, I should say. He's a friend of my son-in-law, and my son-in-law, Ronnie, he was struggling with pornography for a long time. He talks about that. He's got a podcast and he talks about how the Lord delivered him from that. And so it doesn't matter who you are, what background you come from, there's a struggle for a lot of people. And so they both were a part of another program, and the other program just, you know, there's a lot of great programs out there. Let me just say that. There are wonderful programs, a lot of good Christian programs. And then there's some programs that they're charging people $3,500. And you're like, There are people who are desperate to be free. They can't afford $3,500. How in the world are they going to be able to pay for that? So Nate was leaving this other company that he was a part of. And I told Ronnie, I said, hey, connect me and Nate. I really feel like this is a God moment for us. And so he did. And Nate and I, we sat down and we had this conversation. Literally, it was 3 months ago. He came here from Charlotte, North Carolina. We sat down. We just said, okay, man, this is such a God thing. We know this is a God thing. It's one of the things that we've started doing. We don't want to just be known as a college that gives away degrees. We're not interested in that solely. Obviously, we want to train people to get their bachelor, master's, doctoral degrees through us at West Coast Bible College and Seminary. That's important. But beyond that, we want to provide resources to the church that they can employ inside of the church. And they can train their leaders. They can train their workers. If they've got issues with grief, if they got issues with alcohol and drug programs, we're actually creating another program like Pure Manhood with alcohol and drugs, also with an eating disorder clinic. We had that when we were in Waco. We had one of the first in-church eating disorder clinics in the world. In fact, it was so successful that we ended up having one of the large organizations where people spend $300,000 per month to get free. They called us. I didn't know them. They called and they said, hey, we hear great things are happening there at your church eating disorder clinic. I said, I have no idea how you heard. We haven't advertised, but we've been working with some people and we've seen some real transformation. And so as a result, they're like, hey, we want to fly you out here. We want to learn what the secret is. I said, I can save you the plane ticket. I said, we do everything you do, but the biggest difference we have is that we give people Jesus. You know, we stop focusing on the negative thing. And even with Pure Manhood, I'll just go back to this here now. I was talking to a well-known, respected leader that a lot of people would know if I were to say their name last week. And we were having this conversation about Pure Manhood. And they made a statement, which is true. They made this statement. They said, man, we got to get guys to stop looking at porn. And I said, you know, I agree with you, but that's not how we run our program. Our goal is not to get guys to stop looking at pornography. Our goal is to get guys to start looking at Jesus, because the more they look at Jesus, the less they'll start looking at pornography. And I gave an illustration to him. When I was back in college, I played baseball, and our second baseman went over to his house one day. They had just bought a brand new house in North Texas. They didn't want to sod the yard, though. They just wanted to put down seed. And so they put down the seed, but their weeds were just growing up like crazy. Because, I mean, North Texas, it's just kind of how it is there. I came over on a Saturday and we went to Ace Hardware. And I'll never forget Larry, who was his dad, going to the Ace Hardware guy and said, "Hey, we need some more weed killer." And the guy just started laughing. And I said, I'm like, "Why is he laughing? I mean, you just want weed killer." And he goes, "How many times have you been in here?" He said, "This is like 8 weeks in a row." He said, "You're going about this the wrong way." He said, "You're trying to put out weed killer." He said, "What you need to be doing is planting new seed, because eventually what's going to happen is that seed's going to come up. It's going to choke out the weeds. And as a result of that, you're going to have the lawn you want." And that's the heart behind what we're doing with Pure Manhood. We talk about all the stuff that people are going to talk about in a typical program. You know, we talk about the mental things, the way that your brain literally is reshaped and changed as a result. But let me just tell you what we've been seeing. We've only recently launched this to the entire public. And so we've had a handful, about 26 guys that we launched the program with. We've had statements from guys who've said, "Look, this is the longest I've gone in 3 decades without looking at pornography." They said, "I've gone over a month." And we're just sitting here saying, "Thank you, Jesus." Big part of that, okay, we have the lesson. And I followed up. One of the reasons why Nate's so just, he's amazing at what he does with this, because he walked through this. He was in the church for 20 years. He was struggling with pornography. And literally during COVID, he found himself on a deathbed in an ICU, and he was face to face with, "Is this how I want to see God?" And he just said, "No more. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm going to follow God with all of my heart." So he went out and sought out a program. But he said, "The thing that really set me free was not a program. The thing that set me free was," he said, "I spent so much time in the Word of God and praying and fasting and seeking God's heart." He said, "It changed everything for me." And so Nate does a video on a daily basis. We have some homework that they walk through, some very practical things. We also, though, we have a health and wellness section where guys will literally, we give them something to do. Doug, you're a gym guy. I'm impressed. I got to tell you, I'm incredibly impressed with all the bench pressing and stuff you are still doing. Because when I watch some of those videos and stuff of you on Facebook, I'm like, my shoulder hurts, okay, just from watching some of the bench pressing. But we have the health and wellness. Simple stuff. I mean, like on day one, we have guys walking for 30 minutes. In the middle of a walk, we also have, so the wellness on that first day too, they're giving something up, whatever it is. Don't replace it with something that's significant to you. It could be something as simple as a Coca-Cola that you've been drinking Coca-Cola every day of your life, 4 or 5 of them. Give it up for that day, because we want them to see that it is possible to be free from something. And if they can see little wins, it's kind of like the credit card process. You know, if you pay off the small ones, if you find those little wins, eventually what's going to happen is they're going to turn into bigger wins and bigger wins. So you got the health and wellness, and it wraps up. And this is such a key component of this, with worship. Every day we've got a specific worship song that's pointed out, that picked out, that's there on the page, that they sit there, they watch, they engage with. We encourage people to worship. But also, and I don't know if you're familiar with them, but the 24/7 worship app, it's an amazing app. It's something that I listen to. I start my day with this every day. I get up. The things that I'm asking people to do are the things that I do on a daily basis. So I'm going to exercise. It's part of who I am. It's part of what I do. But part of that exercise, if I'm out on a walk, I'm always getting my scripture in to start my day. And I'm always following that up with, I usually spend about an hour on 24/7 worship. And I just sit there and I'll pray as that worship song. And what I've even seen, and look, man, I've been in ministry, like I said, since 1986, 38 years. And what I've even seen is that it's helped me just in the way that I respond to my wife, just in the way that I respond to situations around me. Now, all of a sudden, everything that seems insignificant, the more worship I've pumped in, it's helped change me. It's helped change my relationships even more. And so that's really the core of what we have. Now, not only do we have a biblical pornography program, though, which is so crucial, it's vital for what it is that we're doing, but we also, you'll notice that on the front page of our website, there's a number of different resources. You'll see we have a daily devotional that we're doing there for men, and it's going to be all about purity. Now, one of the things we're going to do while the guys are in the program, we're going to take them through the entire New Testament in 91 days. Okay, we've got it recorded, going through the New Testament, and we're tying everything in to purity, to legacy. I mean, think about Matthew chapter 1. A lot of people read genealogies. They're like, genealogies, whatever. We look at genealogies and we say, you know what? These are all the people that were leading up to Jesus. Think about your family, how your purity is going to affect the generations that are coming after you. And so we have that daily devotional that's there. We've developed for churches, we've developed quarterly Bible studies for men. There's so many different things that we've developed that will help with the resources that are there. We've got that. We've got weekly reconnect calls, so many different things. And so that's the nutshell of what we're doing.
What I really loved about even why you do West Coast Bible College and Seminary, as well as what you said with Pure Manhood, that some of these things are exorbitant, the cost to be able to get these resources. And so a person who doesn't have insurance for drug rehabs and alcoholism rehabs, and like you said, some things are so exorbitant, expensive-wise, to even go through trying to find freedom from pornography and other things. And so you didn't want to see people leave their calling to leave and never go back to their calling. And so that was one of the reasons that God really gave you this innovative idea of helping people get educated where they are. And the other thing that I noticed too is that it's 100% confidential. So there's no exposure. This is an opportunity for people to feel safe and to find resources. And I like what you said about it's planting more godly seed, so it'll choke out those weeds.
Right.
And going at it the wrong way, trying to find a way to deal with the actual issue rather than the root of the issue.
When you've tried to stop doing something, what are you doing? Like, I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't do it. And the more you say, I can't do it, what are you reinforcing in your mind? I'm going to do that. That's exactly what I'm going to do. I remember the old worship song, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." And look, I know that there's even been a remake on that song, been a great remake on that. But the whole thing with this is, look, we know there are a lot of leaders that are struggling with this as well. Our goal is not to out people. Our goal is not to cause people to feel like they're in bondage. Our goal is to help people come to Jesus and really be free, to get past this thing of showing up, doing the, you know, I've got the smile on my face, all this stuff, looking good, but to really get to the point where, you know, I'm going to surrender everything to Christ. And that's what the program's about. So when we have these weekly reconnect calls, every Tuesday night, there's going to be a call. Nate, I may be on it. We've got weekly pastoral calls too, by the way. We're connecting with guys. We've got guys, it's been amazing. We've been shocked that guys are actually showing up. They'll show up on a Zoom call because they're hungry. But if you don't want to show up on a Zoom call, we've got teleconference calls where you can dial directly into a number. And when you dial into that number, nobody knows what your phone number is. Nobody knows anything else. And so you can have conversations. A huge thing for us with West Coast Bible College and Seminary, we're governed by the laws of the land anyway. I mean, so FERPA, all that stuff there, we'll never share that stuff. But beyond that, it's our integrity. I've had the opportunity to speak to a number of leaders who've walked through a lot of challenges. And you know what? I know all of us have something, whatever our something is. We all have issues, and there's been things that I've had to deal with. I've had attitude issues over the years of my life. I mean, just, and honestly, going back, looking back, I struggled with pornography when I was a younger man. And the reason why was because when I was 15 years old, I had a friend whose parents decided, hey, the best way for our son to learn about sex is to give him Playboy, Penthouse, We magazines. So, man, we're all going over to visit him. It's like, man, this is the best thing ever. Treasure trove, you know, for teenage boys. And you didn't realize how it was going to impact you at that point. At that young age, I was exposed, and it happens now. Doug, do you realize the average age that they're saying right now that people are being exposed, men or young men specifically, is between 9 and 10. And if we've got all these young men who are out here between the ages of 18 and 24 who are in the church, who are worshiping Jesus, and then getting out and getting on their phone and looking at stuff they shouldn't be, we've got to take care of this issue. We've even been looking into, Nate and I have had these conversations of, what can we do to create a program for the youngest men, you know, that would be appropriate for age level to get them thinking in the right direction. You mentioned the cost, our cost, and you can see it. There's a plans page on our website. In fact, you actually on the front page, you can just scroll straight down. So you can go to puremanhood.org, puremanhood.org. And you can do that. It's available now mobile. We actually just finished it up. Let me give you an idea. We had this on Disqualified Ministries website and on West Coast to start with. And we just decided it's very, very important for us that we we take it outside of those zones because some people may not feel comfortable coming into some of those zones. So we've created a total different entity, pure manhood. It's an umbrella. So we made this available to men. For individuals, it's $299, period, not a month, $299 total cost. What I was thinking about was that we put a monthly payment option on there as well for people who want an option for that. It's three payments, $110 for 3 months, lifetime access and stuff after that. But we did something else, even since we've spoken, Doug. Nate and I just started talking about, okay, God really gave us a vision that we're going to reach 1 million men on this. Our goal is not to make $299 million. That's not our goal, okay? I mean, people may go, well, you're just trying. Our goal is not that. So we said, what can we do to really put this and make this a resource for churches? So what we've done is we've created this program, and inside of this program, we've got other true resources that we're giving to churches, pure resources is what we call them. And we've made it available for $105 per month, which allows every church to put as many men in their church in this plan as they want. We give them a coupon code. Whoever signs up from the church, we give them a coupon code. In fact, we say this is a great way to be able to minister to people outside of your church. So you take this coupon code, you put it in. The church pays only one fee for everybody that's in there, $105 a month. And I had a denominational leader ask me the other day, well, how in the world can you guys make money if you know if you've got you know these men going? I said, well, first of all, it's not about money. We want to put resources in the hands of church. We think that's a great way. That's on our plans page. You can take a look at that. Again, it's puremanhood.org. If you scroll down about halfway in the page, you'll see a blue thing, a guy there. Check out our plans. You can click on that right there and see those. And also, if you've got any questions and you know you'd like to ask me directly, you can email me at president@westcoastbible.org, president@westcoastbible.org, or you can email info@puremanhood.org. Either one of those. President at West Coast Bible comes directly to me. And so if you want to directly come to me initially, feel free to send it there. I'm happy to answer any questions.
There is so much here. We talked about this. I had been asked to participate in being an author of a project on what is biblical masculinity.
Right.
And that website is whatmakesaman.org. Because we realize in the last year or so that there's been such a challenge to men's identity. And
right.
There's a distinction between what the world thinks of a man versus what is biblical masculinity. And of course, we know that through the late Dr. Edwin Lewis Cole, you know, he used to always say that Christ's likeness and manhood are synonymous.
Right.
So we tried as best we could. It took us months. Ken Harrison, former CEO of Promise Keepers, Waterstone Foundation, and Dr. Sammy Rodriguez for the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference, and the Benham Brothers, Chad Hennings, Dr. A.R. Bernard, Center in A.R. Bernard up in Brooklyn. And I was honored to be a part of that, and Gene Getz. And I was honored to be considered one of the authors, although I'm not sure how much I invested, but just we talked a lot about it and defining, you know, what do we want to address? And so it seems to me with things like that, you know, what makes a man, what is biblical masculinity is something we need to address. But obviously, for us to walk in the fruit of that, to be godly men who are secure in our identity in Christ, then we need to make sure that we deal with those root issues or those
things
that are dealing in our lives that are keeping us from that.
Right.
You
Absolutely.
Mentioned earlier, it's important that we help young men as well, and women. It's crazy how many young women are being addicted to pornography.
Amazing.
At a younger age. And so we see with the advent of social media, with all these, with, you know, entertainment, trying so hard to even target young minds to capture their hearts and souls. So we have to address even the younger, because they're the ones, the seeds are being planted to capture them. And so I think what you're doing and wanting to reach the younger generation is going to be very important.
The heart again of this is we want people to walk in freedom. And so a big portion of this, while we have the devotions and the other things that we have, because a lot of programs, they end after 13 weeks, 90 days, 60 days. There are some denominations that they do some good things. They really do. There's Southern Baptist in North Texas. I know they've got a really phenomenal 30-day program that they have there. It's a phenomenal program. What we've discovered in talking to leaders and just talking to men in general is a lot of times people struggle to go to a denominational leader. or to go to someone else, because they're afraid that if I share this information with someone else, then this information is going to get out there. And so rather than get free, they'll stay in bondage because they don't want to think about the repercussions of what's going on in their life. You know, what's going to happen? Am I going to lose my ministry? And so that's one of the things that the anonymity, which is important, especially up front. But again, we're discovering from anonymity is coming community, because people realize they need the biblical community in order to be able to function the way that they are. And they should, as God has created them to function. It's very important to start it young, yes, but there are a lot of people who are already past the point of us being young. And I know guys who are older than me who are addicted. And you mentioned the women, the latest statistics that I read on women, over 40% are addicted to pornography. And that's in the United States. And so there's a huge challenge we have here, but it's a great opportunity for the church to stand up now. Well, we got to do something now, because this has already become a huge problem. I want you to think about it. There are a lot of pastors who are watching it. I'm not trying to put anybody under condemnation. I'm just saying this is just a reality of the way that things are. They show up. You may have a deacon or deacons who are watching it, ushers who are watching it. What do you think the spiritual climate of a church is going to be when you have leadership that's engaging and watching in these things? And so we really want to see people free. And so the whole component for us is with West Coast, you know, our mission statement is creating disciples of Christ without creating disciples of debt. What we want to do is we want pure manhood to be a part of discipleship, lifetime discipleship. We will always have new quarterly Bible studies every year. We will always have new daily devotionals every time. We will always have the new calls for the individuals and for the pastors, because we consider this part of discipleship as we're trying to resource and help the church and the leaders.
Really, it's the renewing of the mind every day, isn't it?
100%. In all of us. I mean, that's what we all have to do. We're all called. That's exactly what Ephesians 4 tells us that we have to do.
And oftentimes, you know, I know as a man, being an athlete from my younger days, and it helps to have people to help team camaraderie and community, absolutely, as you mentioned, as well as coaches that will help us to kind of encourage us, motivate us. The simple thing for me going to the gym at almost 68 years old is that I can't work out at home. I won't do it. But if I force myself to get to the gym and smell the gym, the sweat, right, see if it works, then I get back into the motivation and I can, sure, do it. And there's something about that kind of camaraderie or community that helps us to stay focused and helps us to walk out of that discipleship you're talking about.
One of the things Nate and I were talking about with the program was a lot of guys, if somebody stands up at the front and pastor says, okay, guys, how many of you want to sign up for the biblical pornography program? Me, I want to sign up. Your wife's like, what are you doing? Is there something I need to know? Do we need to have a conversation here? And so we said, people are, they're just not going to raise their hands. They're just not going to. If I've got a site that is stopwatchingporn.org, if the wife comes in watching and sees that, a lot of concerns. And so again, we're trying to help men keep their dignity while they're getting their freedom. So we have this website. That's why we have all the other resources. That's why we build it in. So a pastor can say, hey, look, we've got a membership here to puremanhood.org. You know, we want all of our men to be pure, whatever it is. You don't even have to say the pornography portion of it. You know, there's all kinds of resources. There's devotionals. We're making this available to our church. Then guys can come in. They can register with the church code. No pastor is going to find out who's in their church, who is in the program. They're just not going to, because we're not going to release the information. That anonymity up front is very, very important. So we built this umbrella of pure manhood. What wife is not going to say, well, I don't want my man to be pure. This is what we need in the church. It's what women desire from their men. It's a discipleship tool. This all comes down to discipleship. You know, so Jesus wasn't putting people through, you know, making them jump through hoops. He was discipling them. And as they were discipled, their lives were changed. And that's why we're even be able to be here today, because of discipleship. And so that's the heart of what we're doing.
So that's brilliant, Kevin, because you're right. If you have a child says, hey, you know, I want to get delivered from pornography, people are going to feel reluctant. Just like, you know, when we do disaster relief, the healing and hope gatherings and grief and trauma in Japan or Haiti, wherever it is, we don't come in and say, you guys need help. What we say is, hey, you may know people.
Right.
So we have a gathering to address the needs of grief and trauma and how for you to help. And then all of a sudden you find all these people who have been victims or people who have been suffering who end up coming themselves. Like even the the movie theater shooting in Colorado many years ago, we didn't address all of you that have been affected that were at the movie theater come. We said, this is to help the whole community that has suffering a community grief and trauma to come and find out how to be a help and to identify and to help others in need. And yeah, what happened was all the people that really were there actually came because they didn't feel like they were all of a sudden being pointed out. What you're doing, that pure manhood is not pointing out an issue, but it will address those that are needed. And Dr. Edwin Lewis Cole, the founder of the Christian Men's Network that I still serve on the board of, when he wrote his book, Maximize Manhood. Well, what man doesn't want to be a maximized man, right?
Absolutely.
But you get into it and he starts dissecting what is lust, what is idolatry, what is sexual morality. But it starts out by drawing you in to say, I want to be a maximized man. And so pure manhood is brilliant that you've come up with this term. And I think that a lot of men and families will be impacted in a positive way because of it.
Well, thank you. I tell you, it is an ode to Dr. Cole as well, the name Pure Manhood. When Nate and I were having that conversation, I know that he was one of your spiritual fathers, but it was to him because I remember reading that book. I think it was 1987. We actually had him in our church that I was on staff at in Gainesville, Florida in 1987 or 88. It was the beginning of 88, one of those. And I'll never forget reading that book. And I was thinking, wow, when we were sitting here going, okay, Lord, what is the umbrella name? And that name, I just couldn't get that maximized manhood out of, and then I told Nate, I said, what about pure manhood? We want men to be pure and we can't steal the name, obviously. I mean, they've already got the name. It was such a great name. And so pure manhood, we need pure men in our world. We need them. In a lot of these programs, again, they built them around, okay, you know, if you're a leader of an organization, I'm like, you're a leader in your home.
That's
before we start worrying about what organization you're leading, you know, you need to be in right relationship with the Lord for your family, for your wife, for your marriage. Then it can extend into your church and go beyond that and into your different walk of life, whether it's your work or your relationships.
That's a great comment there, because you're a leader. It's not just people who are perceived technically as a leader of a church or a business or a leader that's perceived publicly. But we're all called to lead at some level. Even my book, Leadership Awakening, we address that every one of us is called to lead at some point.
That's right.
And all of us have that leadership capacity in us. And are we leading people in a place that is healing, or are we leading people in a place that is diminishing of their potential? And even for me, in my book, Leadership Awakening, I addressed, for me, because I get so many young leaders asking me all the time, and I said, look, I just have to be brutally honest with myself. That's a key, because that's attractive to God.
Sure.
I have to be brutally honest of my own failures and shortcomings and the frailty of my humanity. And if I can do that, then God can continue to do a work of healing to help me to become the man I need to be, or the leader I need to be in my home or in the public. And I'm so blessed, Dr. Harrison, that you've taken on my Leadership Awakening book as a course.
Yeah.
In your master's program for West Coast Bible College and Seminary. And I tell you, as soon as we did that, I started getting all these bumps. We have people ordering books, you know, on Amazon. They go, wow. At one point, I think in the last couple of weeks, it went down to one of the top 100 Christian leadership books out there out of tens of thousands. I thought,
that's phenomenal. You get into leadership books too. If you want to get into leadership resources, you're talking about there's over 2 billion leadership resources that are available to people. 2 billion. So if you're like in the top 100, you're doing pretty well. But the reason why we're using it though is because it's biblical concepts behind leadership. I've read a lot of leadership books. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of good stuff out there. There's nothing wrong with things, but and I can't tell you how many leadership books that I've read, because it's part of, you know, what I've done individually. I want to learn. I want to grow. It's important for me, but also for our school. So we go through all these different resources and we say, okay, what's the resource that A, it has to be biblical, first of all. Two, it has to be practical and it has to be meaningful. Mm-hmm. And your book tick the boxes at the very top on each one of those. And so we decided to put it at the master's level because these are concepts, man, that are just huge concepts. We've got a good group that's a part of that. And so we're going to start here. And I've told you before, a little bit earlier today, I've got some friends in other universities that I'm going to put this book out here because I believe in the book. In fact, I think this book, we may even look and see how we can use it in pure manhood, seriously, because this is a part of leadership. It is a part of leading your family, leading in a godly way. We'll take that resource. We'll utilize it. You may see it in Pure Manhood before too long here as well.
When we first wrote it, there was many who said, well, Doug, you need to write it in a way that's more mass appeal. And it was interesting because we put it, everything had to be filtered through a biblical lens and scripture, but it had great stories and personal areas of my life that I have to deal with. But to my amazement, it didn't affect the secular or the public out there. Many people who aren't even necessarily in church liked the book. I had the co-founder and the vice president of an NBA basketball team promoting it on social media before I even met the person.
And that's so phenomenal.
I met business people, said, I didn't think anybody else could write another book on leadership. And they read it. And so they said, and they started promoting it. And so I'm thinking, okay, so we did the right thing. I think the world is looking for answers. We don't need to be ashamed of showing them the filter through scripture and Amen. A biblical model by which all these principles have lasting success.
Well, see, I think the difference in your book and a lot of the other leadership books is that a lot of that is good information. Your book is leading people to transformation. There's a big difference between the two. It's information for transformation. And again, the stories, they're relatable. And that's very important too. Because I mean, you're dealing with college students, even if they're, 30, 40 years old, all of us reading a book. Why do we read a book? Because we understand stories. We've grown up with stories. That's why, they'll tell stories in television shows. There's a storyline. There's great stories in there. But again, they're meaningful stories that connect the biblical. So it's from information to transformation.
It's been amazing just to hear what was happening through Pure Manhood and also through you and also through West Coast Bible College and Seminary and everything else that you're involved in. What are some of the things you would leave with us and provoke us and challenge us with? And again, remind us how people connect to Pure Manhood and to West Coast Bible College.
Sure. So purity is essential for a believer. None of us would go and none of us would drink. I've got a bottle of water here. I've been to Africa before and been preaching. They'll bring me a bottle of water and you look in, there's stuff all in there. Like, oh, thank you so much. Thank you. As you put it aside, this here, I'll drink. Why? Because it's pure. Impurity is essential. Now, God uses impure people all the time. We've seen that's a reality. But Jesus made it very clear to his disciples in Luke chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, that the things that are done in secret, that are done in dark, they're going to come out in light one day. May not be tomorrow, may not be, and we're discovering over the last few weeks here, unfortunately, we're seeing that happen even in Christian leadership. And so what I would encourage people to do is repent, take care of things. When that seed, that negative seed gets planted, uproot it. I mean, pull that weed. My yards, I loved doing my yard outside. It's one of the things that I just enjoy. I had weeds that were coming up for a long time. And I started putting stuff out. And again, that weed killer, I started putting it out, not even thinking about that story. And then I remembered, put seed out. And that seed, every time it's come up and it's choked out the weeds, and I get to continue to have the yard that I have. And so I would just say, stay pure. I mean, this is a great opportunity. If you're not in a place where you need to be in your relationship with the Lord, if your mind's going in places, you're looking at stuff you shouldn't look at, I want to encourage you, come by and visit. Puremanhood.org, 100% secure. Your story is your story. It's not our story. We're not going to put you out here and go, look at it. This is one of our truck. We don't do that. Our goal is the things that are going to take place in the secret that's going to be revealed through the lives of men. Some much we'll never get to see until we get to heaven. But the bottom line is we want to see lives change. If you're a pastor in a church, I encourage you, make a subscription for your church. People are like, well, $105, I don't think about the bondage that's in your church. Look at it this way. If you had four men from your church who got into this program and they paid for this themselves, they're going to pay $1,200 between the four of them anyway. So you could get 100 men into your program. You have an opportunity to be able to do that. So I want to encourage you, live pure. How do we stay pure? We stay pure through the washing of the Word of God. I mean, that's what Ephesians 5 tells us. We're made clean through the washing of the water. So we stay in that word. We keep our mind where it needs to be. I want to encourage you, because this will affect, impurity will affect everything else. If you want to see something disqualify you from ministry, go into 1 Timothy chapter 3, look at verses 2 through 7. You can go down a list of things in the scripture there. You can see the things that disqualify people. Don't allow yourself to be there, but turn your heart fully and wholly to the Lord. That's what I would say to people. Stay pure and put yourself in a position to always be used of God.
Amen. The website is puremanhood.org.
Puremanhood.org. Mobile sites available as well. I mean, you can go there. Again, if you have questions of me, I know Jody put it in the comments here a little bit earlier. If you want to email me directly, please do so. I'd love to answer questions. Again, anything you send to me, even via email, it is 100% secure. No one else in my office will see it. No one else will even know it. What comes to me and Nate stays with me and Nate. We don't share it with our wives, nothing along those lines. So my email again is president@westcoastbible.org. president@westcoastbible.org, or you can email us at info@puremanhood.org. info@puremanhood.org. We are available for you to help you in any way that we can.
Puremanhood.org. And also you mentioned 24/7 worship app. I'm going to have to get that one as well. I love that.
Man, it's amazing. It's amazing. They're out of Portland, Oregon, and I've actually made several, you know, donations helping them and some of the stuff that they're doing. It's just 24/7 worship. It's what it is. And you know, they'll break it up occasionally. There's a word from a pastor that's really an encouraging word, but it just keeps your mind in worship. So you can download that app 24/7, whatever app store you're in, it's available there.
Great. Puremanhood.org. I would encourage everyone listening or watching to go straight to that website and to see how it can be utilized as a tool to help those in your church. Also, tools that we can use to help us, and also through that, being able to help others as well. As I mentioned earlier, whatmakesaman.org, whatmakesaman.org, and it really is about dealing with what is biblical masculinity. There's such an attack on manhood today. You know, something you said, Kevin, is that, you know, talking about the issues that we deal with, but really ultimately, isn't it all pride? If we're unwilling 100%. To deal with pride, when King David had his sin with Bathsheba, the result of that was the death of 3. And yet with his pride, which is the root of all of that, there was a killing of 70,000. Yeah. So I really think at the end of the day, for me, I want to be careful not to allow justification with excuses, not to deal with issues that God has called me to deal with, because ultimately that will result in the fruit of it, or the bad fruit, which is sexual immorality, lust, idolatry, etc. I want God to continue to work on my heart that I would not let pride keep me from being honest with God and with myself.
Amen. And I would tell people, be proactive in this. Maybe you were addicted in the past. Maybe you haven't had an issue. This is great to stay proactive, because again, it's centering our mind on the Word of God. Everything comes back to Jesus, okay? Everything comes back to Him. And so as we're centered on Him, we're going to be where we need to be. You know, turn your eyes upon Jesus again. Amen. Look full in His wonderful face.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of A Word in Season with Doug Stringer and Friends, and ask you to prayerfully consider supporting the ministry at somebodycares.org or by texting your donation amount to 805-422-7348. Please join us again for A Word in Season with Doug Stringer and Friends.